since Election Day, Tom,
yeah,
things have changed rapidly, and the church is very much a part of the mix. And that's one of the things I really want to talk with you about today.
Well, I have a lot of things I could say about it, and so I'll try to limit it to the time that we have here together, Gary. But I look at it and see so many different dynamics. Apparently, there was a large contingent of evangelicals that voted for Donald Trump. And reading the news and talking with friends, there obviously are people that are happy that Trump is president. There are those who are very unhappy that Trump is president. So we have that has developed within our country. We really see the lines of division. But the thing that concerns me the most is what I have witnessed within the church and within Christians and talking with them. And there seems to be this thought that now that Trump is president, happy days are here again. Let's build our kingdom here on this planet.
Yeah.
And what I am very concerned about is that the church is being lulled to sleep through this current process that we're in. And I believe that the next thing that could take place is the rapture. Events seem to change every day. The elections didn't turn out the way that a lot of people thought they were. Seems every day I open up my laptop, I wake up in the morning and look at the news, mm-hmm. and I wonder what's happened last night while I was asleep. So we live in a world that is changing rapidly, but I am absolutely certain that everything is going exactly the way that the Bible said it would thousands of years ago. We are heading towards a global government with or without Donald Trump. We are heading towards everything that the Bible describes in the last days, including what's going on with Israel, what's going on with Russia, what's going on with Iran, what's going on in Asia, what is going on in the entire world is developing. And I'm very concerned that the church is being lulled to sleep thinking, well, we have 4 years of happiness. We don't have to worry about anything. We have maybe 8 years if Trump is reelected. I'm not so sure about this, and I believe that the church better be ready for the rapture. I'm hoping for a great awakening. I believe that's quite possible. However, I'm very concerned.
I want you to comment here in a moment on not only things that are happening in the United States, but also the Middle East, because if you look at what's happening in the world today, Israel is now under siege. And a conflict has arisen. It's called the two-state solution. Mm-hmm. There needs to be an Islamic state called Palestine alongside the state of Israel. But Israel cannot have its capital in Jerusalem. Israel's capital must be Tel Aviv. And so there's all of this moving along. Well, Donald Trump has come along and suggested that maybe we should move the Israeli embassy out of Tel Aviv and into Jerusalem. So what I'm saying is we've got conflict building right now. And how does that play into all this?
Oh, boy, is there going to be great conflict if that does come about.
Yeah.
But, okay, so we put it together. Going back to the Old Testament prophets, Zechariah chapter 12, Zechariah chapter 14 are very specific. God is going to be working with Israel again, and the whole world will come against Israel. Now, currently with Donald Trump is speaking very favorable towards the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. And his son-in-law is, I believe, an Orthodox Jew also. So we look at this dynamic, but he's favorable towards the Jewish people in a way, Gary, that appears we haven't had a president this favorable towards the nation of Israel before. I mean, you can say some things about Ronald Reagan. We can look at Harry Truman. Harry Truman was the one who voted in favor of the nation of Israel with the UN, but still he wasn't totally all in with Israel at the same time.
Yeah.
Donald Trump seems to be a lot more along the lines of going all in with the nation of Israel. So I envision this. If the embassy has moved to Jerusalem, you think we have conflict now? I can imagine the Islamic world just going absolutely ballistic, at least the radical Islamic world going completely ballistic if that were to happen. But at the same time, to me, Gary, it's kind of crazy too, because I look at it like this. We know this is part of the Zionist movement, and God, to me, in the Bible, is the original Zionist. Zion is synonymous with the city of Jerusalem, and God's the original Zionist. The Zionist movement really got its legs back in the 1800s, Theodore Herzl and Chaim Weizmann in the early 1900s and some others.
Yeah.
So we see the Zionist movement building, but when I look at it today I realize, you know what, this whole thing is going this direction. Jerusalem is God's city. It's the apple of his eye. God is ultimately the protector, but we do know that an antichrist is going to come on the scene, and there's going to be a covenant that's confirmed that is going to divide the city of Jerusalem. At least that's the way I read the Bible and the way it's going to come about. But everything is progressing just like that. And we're going to witness how the current presidential administration falls into play with all the things that are going forward, because they are going forward. And we live in exciting times.
We do. And, you know, Zionism is a controversial word.
Yeah.
Zion and or Zionism. But I tell people that one time I did a little word study on Zion, and that word appears 153 times in the Bible from cover to cover. And the Lord says concerning Zion, he says, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob.
Yeah.
In other words, it's his favorite place.
Yeah.
And there are other people claiming now that they have ownership of that place.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to result in some kind of major conflict.
Oh, it will. And also, this can enter a couple of things. He calls Jerusalem the apple of his eye and the Jews the apple of his eye.
Yeah.
It's synonymous there in those passages. The apple of his eye being, when I look at the pupil, it's like, and when you come against God, it's like poking against the Jews in Jerusalem, you're poking God in the eye. That does not seem to me to be a good strategy.
Not really.
If you want to get God, I mean, I've been poked in your eye. It's not going to make you happy. So we have that dynamic. And also I just look at the nation of Israel. You and I have both been to Jerusalem many times, and you look at it and you go, well, what's so spectacular about this? It's not Maui. It's not Tahiti.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean,
you make a good point. There are some really beautiful places on planet, breathtakingly beautiful places. And you can't call Jerusalem that exactly.
Yeah.
It is beautiful, and it's got a certain, quality.
Mm-hmm.
That no other spot on earth has.
It does.
But you really wouldn't call it a tourist spot. But you know, and I know, that when you go there, it's covered with tourists. Why are they coming?
It is marvelous. The strangest thing happened. I'm getting ready to go to Jerusalem for the very first time. So, you know, you're on the tour bus.
And yeah.
I'm in the front of the bus because I'm the pastor of the church, and it's exciting. And we're coming up over the hill, getting ready to go into Jerusalem. And I'm thinking, I'm going to see Jerusalem for the first time. Came up over the hill, and you saw this old city. I went, this is it. but strangely, you know, by the time we were there for 6 hours,
yeah,
I don't know what transformed inside of me, but I fell in love with the city. Man, for me, it would be the best to live in Jerusalem sometime. And it's a strange spiritual dynamic.
It is.
And it is a melting pot for literally, obviously, the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims. But you see all these various religions. And the people flocking to Jerusalem, and again, it's not this beautiful oasis and beaches and everything, but there is a draw that no other place on the earth has, and it can only be explained as being spiritual. For God's people, it's God's drawing them. For other people who are not, I believe it's the enemy, because the enemy, Satan, wants to claim Jerusalem as his. It's not going to happen. He'll try.
I want to ask you another question in a moment, but I want to reflect on what you just said, because the last time I was in Jerusalem, I stood in the old city at lunchtime, just sort of stood in one place and people watched, and I heard every language on planet Earth spoken in one spot. I was astonished. I heard all the Oriental languages. I heard the Australian accent. I heard French. I heard German. Every language on Earth right there in the old city. And it just blew me away. Suddenly it came to me. The Lord's doing something here.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I totally understand it at this point. But the question I want to ask you is this. We started out talking about the pre-trib rapture of the church. Let's go back now and talk about what has just happened in the United States. The building conflict between the United States, Europe, and some of the other countries, Russia, China, and the involvement that all of that political melee is going to have at the time of the rapture. Where does the rapture fit in all this?
I do believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, The church, unfortunately, has kind of let their guard down right now. I say this like this. When people are going through struggles, financial struggles, maybe dealing with cancer or something like that, they tend to either just get mad at God completely, mm-hmm. or a lot of people will turn to God during their struggles and start to pray more. And that seems to be what often happens. But then when things start to go their way again, God is set aside. He goes on the back burner. And I'm afraid that's what we are witnessing taking place. So, but with that at the same time, I'm watching what's developed in Europe and in America. And it appears that the current construction of the EU is collapsing. Mm-hmm. And big change is coming, which I believe eventually Antichrist will rise out of the ashes of a collapsed European Union. But with that, it looks like there's more and more Christians that are being placed in positions of influential power. And if can you imagine, Gary, if there are a lot of Christians placed in these positions of power, or whatever it may be, here in the United States especially, but perhaps over even in Europe. In Europe, there almost seems to be some type of an awakening that seems to be taking place in some of the territories of, or some of the cities and counties of Europe. So you're looking at that. Imagine there is an awakening that's taking place. That to me is exciting. But then let's just fast forward a year from now and say, rapture takes place, and you have these people of influence throughout the United States that are in power, in the government. Wow. And then we have an awakening that started to take place over the next 365 days. Could you imagine the dynamics that would change immediately if there were a rapture with people like this in power and an awakening that has taken place? And with that, you know what I see happening, Gary? If I watch the people that are, there's a lot of anger in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And and there's a lot of people that are rejoicing. But the anger, we can see people wanting to have things the way they used to be. If the rapture takes place, there's going to be people alive there saying, now we finally get our chance to have things the way we want it. Whatever it may be, whatever the line of the political equation you land on. So I see this happening. I see things going this direction. And I see, man, I see a new world order coming immediately after the rapture.
But after the rapture, not before.
After the rapture, I see it happening. Right now, it's almost like the new world global elite are put on hold. At least it appears that way. I might be wrong.
Yeah.
But it appears that way. Rapture takes place. They aren't going to waste a second to start doing everything they can to get the order that they want.
So you believe in a, not only a pre-trib rapture, but that some time must elapse after the church departs.
Yeah, I do for various reasons. I'll make this as quick as I can. I get excited about these things. And
oh, me too.
Can't stop talking sometimes. So I believe the rapture will take place. Yeah. There's going to be a whole lot of chaos throughout the whole world. And it's going to take time for things to develop to get things back in order again. I mean, imagine banks are going to change. Everything's going to change, right? So it's going to take some time to get things back in a working order again that's consistent. I imagine after some time, it could be 3 years. I believe Tim LaHaye said probably 7 years or maybe even 10 years it could take from the time of the rapture until the confirming of the covenant with the Antichrist and the Jews. It's that confirming that begins the tribulation period.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah. And also something else is interesting. The covenant of Daniel chapter 9, that the Antichrist has with the Jewish people, the covenant of many. If you go to Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah talks about this covenant being a covenant with Sheol and a scourge that is coming upon the nation of Israel. And to avoid the scourge that's coming to the nation of Israel, they enter into this covenant with the Antichrist. So it appears there's a whole lot of chaos. There's some type of scourge that's going, persecution that's coming, and now it's going to be coming towards Jerusalem, so they enter into this covenant. So listen, after the rapture, I believe there's quite a bit of time that's going to elapse before the confirming of the covenant, and a whole lot of chaos that's going to take place.